God's country boy with a powerful message, Micah, on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life. If you are into playing games with God, turn off your radio now. This is a program designed to help beggars tell other beggars where they found bread. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thank you, Mike. I almost said Micah, because believe it or not, that's where we are in our Old Testament survey, the book of the prophet Micah. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your pastor's sermon ministered to you the way mine did to me, and I hope your worship time was as celebratory and real as was my worship time at my church. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Micah in the Old Testament as we continue with our Old Testament survey. And for those of you who are just joining us, we're not spending forever in each of the books of the Old Testament. We started in Genesis, and we're producing many commentaries for these that you can put in your Bible. And I'll be telling you more about the final one that'll be out in the next few weeks. And we're going through the entire book of the Old Testament. I've just about decided, though I may not, that we're going to continue doing this right through the New Testament. So we have a complete understanding of at least some of the basics of the entire Bible. And we're up to the book of Micah, who's a very old friend of mine. And we're going to look at some introductory things about my friend Micah on this edition of Key Life. But before we do that, it's our practice on Monday to pray. Let's do that. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful you wrote it down, because it would have been so confusing if you'd just spoken it. Father, we're glad for the scriptures, for the way they speak truth. They don't back off, and they tell us the way things really are, but more important, the way you really are. We praise you for your word, but we praise you for so much, for sending your son to die on a cross in our place, for the many blessings that you pour on us. Father, we're acutely aware when we're in your presence that we don't deserve any of this. You are a gracious and kind God, and we praise you and we worship you. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast, there's some folks that are going through a tough time right now. They sometimes even doubt whether you're there, and if you are there, whether you care. Father, come alongside by your Spirit and be the comforter that the Holy Spirit is. Father, lift them up and give them the encouragement of the reality that you're good, and you're good all the time. And Father, we pray for the one who teaches on this broadcast. Forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's Micah, a brand new book, and let me just tell you a little bit about Micah. And then I want to give you a history lesson today, if I have time. Micah was from Moresheth. Now, we have good reasons to believe that this was a town on the edge, the foothills, about 25 miles to the southwest of Jerusalem toward Gaza. And there is a good indication here that that Micah was a country boy, a redneck, if you will. Nobody expected anything from somebody who didn't have the sophistication of the city, but Micah was God's man. Now, the significance of the location that I just gave you is that it was near the Philistines and near the fortress city, some of which are mentioned in chapter 1. Lachish is one of them. Well, we'll get into that. Micah didn't grow up in the power center of Jerusalem. He was an outsider. Isn't it interesting when you go through election how even those who are at the power center in Washington pretend they're outsiders? We're going to fix them. And I want to say, but you are them. You've been there for so long. But Micah really was an outsider. And then Micah's name, just so you might want to make a note of it, means who is like Yahweh. In Micah 7:18, the name of the prophet is given in the question that he asked, who is like you? Let me see if there's anything. Now, there have been, I'm not going to go into this because it really doesn't require a lot of time. various parts, particularly of the 4th and 7th chapters, or 4 through 7, have been questioned as to whether or not Micah wrote them. There are some who say an editor stuck these in just to make it a little bit better. Now, the difficulties are seen, and I'm one of these, are related to the flow of the book and the appropriateness of certain ideas or concepts to the immediate supposed historical situation. Now, that's what they say. This is what I feel. The difficulties are nothing less than an anti-supernatural bias. You find that everywhere. Somebody just looks at it and says, I don't believe in the supernatural, therefore this had to be an addition. For example, chapter 7 speaks of the future hope and the rebuilding of the nation. Now, if you don't believe in prophecy, you don't believe that God knows the future, and you believe that God is limited his knowing, then Micah couldn't have known that and prophesied it before it happened. Well, if you believe that God is God and that prophecy comes from him, and when he speaks it, it will happen, then you don't have any trouble with the prophet Micah writing the book of Micah. It should be noted that there has been increasingly less support for much of the negative criticism of Micah, but enough said about that. What I want to do today is kind of give you a mini historical lesson. Now, I don't know if we're going to finish this mini lesson in history today, but let's get to it. The year was 736 B.C., and it was the best of times and the worst of times. Two nations were constituted, made up the divided people of God, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And they were both being blessed by what seemed to be a grateful God for their goodness. In the northern kingdom, under the masterful leadership of Jeroboam II, the armies of Israel had moved with mighty force against the armies of Ben-Hadad III of Syria. And they won a gigantic plot of territory from the north pass between Lebanon and Hermon, into eastern Palestine, south to the Dead Sea, and they stood on the hills and beat their chest and said, we're godly and we're pure and we're holy and God has rewarded us. Now, in the south, with her magnificent capital city of Jerusalem, situation was sort of the same, only the names were different. Uzziah, I had an Old Testament professor who called him Uzzy. Uzziah, in a display of military prowess, had conquered Edom and the Red Sea port of Elath, giving Judah control over the rich caravan trade route with southern Arabia. Now, let me tell you the importance of that. The revenue from that rich caravan route, or route, developed the resources of Judah and increased its military efficiency. Judah became drunk with the power and the wealth. God loves us better than anybody else because we're pure and we're holy. But wealth, whether it's given to an individual or to a nation, is never an unmixed blessing. The nations of Israel and Judah were not the exception. The wealth of Israel produced a succession of weak and horrible and unwise kings. There was Shalom, who ruled for only 1 month. Then there were weak kings nobody even cares to remember. Menahem, Pekah, well, Hoshea, well, we could go on and on. In the south, in Judah, again, the story was the same. Son of Jeroboam, Zechariah, lasted only 6 months. He was followed by Jotham, and then by Jehoahaz and Ahaz, and then Hezekiah, who was the only king in the lot, by any stretch of the imagination, who could be described as a good and wise king. Now, usually, when a nation or an individual is in trouble, you get straight. Usually, when a nation is in trouble, there's a good chance for a great religious awakening. As a matter of fact, that's what's happened in America on several occasions. But that's not what happened in Judah nor in Israel. In fact, just the opposite happened. The people, resting in the knowledge that they were God's people, that God wasn't going to let anything bad happen to his people, went on about their daily lives, ignoring the rapid decline of their nation. Immorality, injustice, debauchery became the name of the game. Rich got richer, and poor got poor. And the ironic part of the whole story, it was all done in the name of God. Not only that, it was often the religious leaders who gave sanction to that whole story. Now, into this morass of depravity and wealth and everything else, a farm boy, you might call him a redneck, by the name of Micah Cain. He was a nobody from a small village, as I mentioned before, of Moresheth, some 30 miles from the city of Jerusalem. And into the cities of Jerusalem and Samaria, this farm boy walked in the name of God, lifting up his voice as he watched the lands and the meager living of the poor being stolen by the rich for a mere pittance. Micah was not from an honored family. He was not a rich man. He didn't have extensive education. His accent was unsophisticated, and his language sometimes bore the crudities of the country. But his message was the message of God. And frankly, the reason Micah is so important to us is because we're not altogether different. I'm not proud of that. I mean, I love my country, and those of you in Canada love your country, but we got a lot. We've got a lot of wealth. We've got military prowess. We've got it all. But with the wealth comes a tremendous responsibility. With a heritage in Christian and Jewish theology and truth, we have a responsibility. It's important we remember that. You think about that. Amen. Well, we'll get into some details tomorrow. By the way, if you're not a part of our Key Life tape / CD family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. Whenever you write or call 1-800-KEY-LIFE or Key Life, it's where you write, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8, or you email us at steve@keylife.org. And ask to be a part of Key Life tape /CD family. We'll do it for you absolutely free. Now, you need to specify which format you want, cassette or CD, and then you start receiving a free cassette or CD every 7 or 8 weeks. These are not the broadcast tapes. You can get those, but you have to ask us out. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible at Reformed Seminary, at the Billy Graham Training Center, at a missions conference or a Bible conference. We send them to our friends, and they're free. But they're not free to us. If you can help us financially, and most people can, we would appreciate it. So this is, you would help your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can charge it to your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along as my thank you the Christmas Meditation CD. And oh yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.